This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rams Review Podcast with your host, Jason, flying solo on hosting duties today. But that doesn't mean I'm alone. I've got two guests, one returning, one newcomer. Returning guest, Jamie Callidine from the Rams Heritage Trust. Jamie, how are we doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jason. Good to be here.
No, it's great to have you back on, mate. And new to the podcast for this, for the first time, is Derby fan Adam Bamford. And Adam, I know it's not just football. I have looked at your website. You can tell us a little bit about that as well. Obviously, it's not very often we get a business owner, CEO of a company on this podcast. I mean, we've had a couple of good guests in the past. This one might be just as good. Adam, thanks for joining us, mate. And just before we start, tell us all about your business adventure.
No, thanks for having me on, Jason. Really appreciate the invite. I'm co-founder of Colleague Box in Derby. So we're essentially a corporate gifting consultancy business. So we're coming up to our busiest time of the year, which is always exciting. But we have also just opened up as a bar and for food as well. So we're based down Alfriston Road. So just down that end of town. So if anyone's ever swooping by, we've got some good craft beers and some good food as well. So yeah, check us out, Colleague Box.
Yeah, well, I'll certainly, next time I'm down that way, I'll be popping myself in, and we'll make sure we give that a nice little plug on our Twitter, mate, for you. Hopefully get a few Rams fans and anybody else who's listening who's in that area, get yourself down there and check that out. But of course, we are here to talk football and, well, so what? Half past two yesterday afternoon, it was all panic stations. By 5:05, Jamie, Twitter didn't go into as much of a meltdown as it had done for the previous week. We know football fans can be fickle, can't we? I mean, you know, it was the usual, obviously slagged off the two performances, which I think by and large, you know, I think it was pretty obvious that it wasn't the two games of football that we'd have expected from those two home games. Everybody's calling out Max Bird. Everybody's calling out James Collins. Everybody's wondering why Oran's captain, this, that, and the other. And all three of them were pretty influential yesterday in, not that I'd say was a perfect performance, but it was. It was probably a typical away performance, wasn't it? You grab that early goal. You know the own team's probably going to have a bit of a go at you, which is what Burton did for that 30 minutes of the first half. But then second half, I think Derby just coped with it. I don't really remember Burton having too much of the ball. Don't really remember him registering a shot on target in the second half. And whilst it could have been more than three, Derby took the chances and killed the game off, which obviously last season there was a few times that just didn't happen. So from that perspective, a pleasing part of the game. Jamie, your thoughts on just your thoughts in general on the game yesterday? As I say, for me, wasn't the finished article, wasn't perfect, but good enough to come away with 3 points.
No, I think it's a very positive result. Obviously, quite really convincing scoreline. Basically, a good response from the team to some of the things that have been levelled at them over the last couple of games. But yeah, like you say, you can't really get a more positive away result. And obviously Burton, they've struggled, haven't they, to beat them and get a result over the past few years, whether that was in the Championship or in League One as well. So, I mean, they've got the monkey off the back there. Like you say, there are some frailties and issues to address. Obviously, with the transfer window still open, it definitely needs to be a few more signings, particularly up front, I would hope. But yeah, it's a good start. I think we tend to start seasons quite slow, don't we, traditionally? So it's a good result to kick start. Usually it's like a scrappy 1-0 gets us going, but to thump Burton 3-0 away, Yeah, that's a pretty good start.
No, I would fully agree. We'll go into detail with the goals a little bit. Adam, first goal after 6 minutes. It's a pretty decent start. I thought Derby started the game quite well, actually. It was, and it's obviously anywhere you go, a goal in the first 5 minutes in any game is always a bit of a trend. Hopefully, you want it to be a bit of a trendsetter. Not always the case, but and as I say, that kind of was the case yesterday. But you'd think from obviously what just under 12 months of Paul Warren football, we kind of know what kind of things he likes to see from his team. And a set piece goal, we know, is always one of the things that he likes. We know it's what they've worked on. And I thought we looked pretty threatening from set pieces all game, to be honest. But always good to get off on with a set piece, and it's always good to get one of your strikers or any of your strikers off the mark as quick as we could. Obviously, James Collins scores from a set piece, good ball in, a perfectly worked set piece, and you've got to be happy with the start that Derby made in that first 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly that. I thought before we scored, we were looking threatening. We were looking good. The pace on the wings, Mendes Lang was kind of threatening all game. But that set piece, I called it before the ball came in. I said, we're going to score here. And I don't say that very often. It just felt I was in a perfect position. And you just want to see your number nine scoring headers, don't you? It's the perfect kind of football goal, really, and especially at this level. And to see your big centre forward scoring headers. I'm a big James Collins fan, which will often get you some stick down the pub, but I really like the guy, and I think with a run of games and a run of goals, he's got 15, 18, 20 goals in him this season. So yeah, it was a perfect start to the game, and yeah, a traditionally kind of perfect goal as well.
And then I think, as I said, unfortunately for, well, not unfortunately, well, it was a bit unfortunately, but you get that early goal. And I think even Paul Warren mentioned it in his post match, or certainly Sean Barker might have mentioned it on Rams TV. It kind of, sometimes an early goal can knock you off your stride a little bit as well. And that's kind of unfortunate. I don't know if I agree with that, but that seemed to be what happened to Derby yesterday, wasn't it? I don't know if they just sat. It was hard to tell, really. I don't know if they just sat back. We start again. There's one or two loose passes, one or two hairy, scary moments in that opening 15, 20 minutes. And I mean, let's be completely honest. We're not just biased to Derby. Derby were quite lucky in the end, I thought, to go in front at half time. Without Burton had, again, nothing. They had that one shot, didn't they? Which kind of pinball in the box. And obviously he fires it straight at Wildsmith. Other than that, I suppose there was nothing too smart from Burton, but there was a slight, for me personally, there was a slight uncomfortability about watching that first half after we'd scored, that you just thought, this is just not still, yeah, we're 1-0 up, but it's not still not quite what we want to see from Derby.
Yeah, I agree to a point, but I think we all know that kind of football's on their moments, and I don't know if you saw the game, but kind of that moment where we could have scored straight away after scoring the first goal, and I think Mendes Lang's got the touch of Johnny Russell about him. I mean, he can beat a man, quite easily, but his finishing often leaves something to be desired, and he should have stuck that away. We'd have been 2-0, and I think. You go 2-0 up in the first 10 minutes, you're going to end up romping away with it, aren't you? But yeah, I think the keeper saved that, and yeah, we then went into our shell, and defending a 1-0 lead on a tiny pitch at Burton is always going to be a recipe for disaster. But yeah, I did think in the end, although like you say, they didn't threaten that much Burton, I thought we were fortunate to get into the break 1-0 up still.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mendes Lang, you're right. He did. He had two or three, didn't he? Certainly, he had a couple in the second half as well. It's almost as if his feet think move too quick for his brain sometimes. And he does. He had a couple in the second half as well. I think he won that Max Bird pass, which Max Bird will come on to in a minute. His second half performance, I thought, was excellent. Maybe just quietened the doubters a little bit, maybe for another week, who knows. But yeah, he's had that one, and he's gone to flash it first time. And, you know, we've seen him do that. We saw him do it a couple of times last season, but again, and then his one-on-ones again, yeah, you just think, again, could have easily come out with a hat trick yesterday. And it is those moments of composure when, like you say, when you're 1-0 up away from home on a tight pitch, which of course doesn't suit the way that Derby play with wingers. And it did feel a little bit like that. We couldn't quite get the ball out in the way that we wanted to yesterday. But Jamie's second half, we do go in, again, a competitive first half. You could probably err on the side Derby were fortunate to be in front. I don't think anybody would have had too many qualms if Burton were level at that point. But second half for me, was apart from the first 10 minutes, I thought the first 10 minutes was quite tight. But it's that second goal, and everybody says, you know, it's not just us on podcasts say it, you know, the best pundits in the world say it. First goals are important, but that second goal is just as important as well. And that second goal, a lovely counter-attacking move. Again, Max Bird burst again. That second half performance from Max was pretty solid. When he burst in, I didn't know if he'd quite seen the run, you know, to check back and pull it back, to be honest. I thought he was going to try and drive it over to Collins, but it was obviously that little bit of quality to pick out Urahan and why the Burton defence left him on his own from 12 yards out, you know, 20 yards out. We know exactly what he was going to do, and a solid finish, Jamie. And that then, for that final 30 minutes, that really did seem to knock the stuffing out of Burton, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it showed very good composure, didn't he? I think sometimes with Max Bird, we've questioned his decision making and his final pass or his final shot. I think it did well for saying that it was a great run, first of all, and to keep his head when he got into the box and he was surrounded. I think that just shows a level of maturity, which he's definitely improved in the past couple of years, but yeah, we all know he's still got areas to work on, but I think for him to get that question off the manager and to perform like that, I think Warner will be delighted, to be honest.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that I took away from it, almost the perfect response from him, really. And we know that's, well, we hope that's the kind of player that he can become. And we hope, obviously, his time at Derby isn't coming to an end. Obviously, that's probably still up in the air a little bit. But yeah, if we can obviously keep hold of him, performances like that from him are going to be integral against certain points this season. And same with Urahan. I mean, obviously, that I think actually that move started off with Urahan, didn't it, in the middle of the park where he passed it to Max Bird and he just absolute bombs on. That's the type of football that Paul Warren wants to play. I was much more comfortable watching bits of the game yesterday. I mean, I went to a couple of the preseason games, and I know the preseason, but some of the pattern of play we saw was like, yeah, I can see where this is going. And then obviously in the two competitive games, it kind of just never really, really shone through. And as I say, don't particularly think for the first half too much yesterday it did. I'm just hoping that it's not, you know, Derby can't only play that style when, you know, when they're not coasting in games, but when they're looking comfortable in games. Because that last half an hour, I know Burton were pushing, and obviously Derby just every single counter attack, like Adam mentioned, the pace of Mendes Lang, it's going to kill teams in this division. We had what, another four, five opportunities really after Urahan scored. I mean, our Max Bird misses that open goal is still a bit of an head scratcher. It would have been really nice for him to put one in, to be perfectly honest. He deserved it from his performance. But the third goal, again, counter-attacking move, Jamie. I mean, they were queuing up, weren't they? We almost wasted the chance because, I mean, why Waghorn hasn't lashed that in, if I'm honest, I really don't know. But Unselfish picks out Washington. And to be fair, I think it takes a deflection off the defender's leg, which allows him to prod at it. But we were almost queuing up. And we've seen that before, that when that happens, sometimes you miss that chance. So nice to put a third in there, Jamie, for me. Nice to see Waghorn get on the pitch. Nice to see Connor get on the pitch. Nice for two out of your three strikers, your main focal strikers at this moment in time, to get off the mark. And obviously a goal and an assist from your captain. First half aside, some of the performance, like we said at the beginning, you can't really ask much more from an away performance. You can only beat the team that's, you know, that's out on the pitch. And I think yesterday, whilst it wasn't perfect, and as I say, Paul definitely alluded to that, I think it would have ticked a lot of boxes, and it's good preparation going into Tuesday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, particularly with us struggling away from home last season, I think we're just so happy to be off the mark, really. I think you go into a game and obviously new players and trying to gel them together, it's not really worked in the last couple of games. And obviously for a few of the players as well, it's their first start or their first full game. Yeah, you can't really wish for more in terms of scoreline. I think, it was a bit of a scrappy goal towards the end, but you know, I think that second half performance, that sort of game last year, we probably would have coasted a bit in the second half and probably conceded a late equaliser away. So to get it over the line, you know.
Yeah, no,
3-0 is.
Absolutely. No, I would fully agree. I think, yeah, if you do look back, and I mean, we saw it in large parts under Paul Warne last year, didn't we? Even on that unbeaten run that we had, we were never fantastic for 90 minutes, ever. It was spells in games which killed teams off, and then a little, and obviously the back line was quite resolute last season, and obviously the amount of clean sheets we kept, that's massive. For me, yeah. Yesterday, the clean sheet as well. Two games, obviously, previous, we'd conceded two goals in both of them, and they were all pretty catastrophic mistakes. And yesterday, Adam, I thought defensively, whilst again, there were times I had my heart in my mouth when the ball, we just were swiping at things, and it was like, oh, just that little bit of composure that you'd think should have been added to the back line with the additions that they've made. I'm still a little bit worried that's not quite gelling at the moment, as well as hope, you know, maybe you'd hope for, but again, I'm probably being a bit harsh there on two or three games. And then of course we see, well, I don't know if you did see, I saw on Twitter a couple of the battle scars from Max Bird. He's got an absolute corker of a black eye, where he's obviously put his head in there, and Sonny Bradley had been busted open as well at the back. So it's nice to know that obviously Max Bird, one player that maybe got digged out last week by the manager. Obviously not confirmed, but everybody's kind of expecting it was about Max. He's still willing, you know, to put it in there for the team. And, you know, obviously a centre off that don't mind getting a bit of blood on his shirt is never a bad thing either. Final real point, I suppose, Adam, on the game yesterday. I mean, playing a little bit of devil's advocate, as I like to do when I like to get fans' opinion. There were some people on Twitter saying it was a must-win game yesterday. I don't know about that, but it was important, wasn't it, to get off the mark, because then you've got two home games now. Obviously, we're going on to discuss them in a minute. We've got what looks quite a tricky opposition, I think, Tuesday in Oxford, and then obviously Fleetwood on Saturday. We said it many times. We said it when with Liam, obviously, at the beginning of last season, and some points with under Paul towards the back end of last season. You can't let things go on for too long. You can't have these barren spells. Obviously, none of the strikers had scored against Wigan, and we looked a little bit hit and miss. We weren't brilliant against Blackpool. Obviously, midweek didn't score. We'd shipped in four goals. So every wrong that they could have righted yesterday, if that's not really a very technical way of saying it, but if that's what you can take from that game yesterday, that's exactly what happened, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I'm not a doom monger. I actually thought we played well in the main against Wigan, and another day we'd have won that game. Obviously, it's the two poor mistakes. The Blackpool game can get in the bin. It's the cup. Yeah, it was an awful performance. But actually, I thought there was a lot of positives to take from the Wigan game that we took kind of into yesterday. And the league's the one that matters. It's great to see, you know, James Collins scoring. It's great to see kind of Max Bird pushing forward and being attacking and being a threat, because we've not seen that enough from him last season. So I think there's a lot of positives. For me, I I'm always put my hand up and say I think we'll go up this season. And there's nothing from the first two games in the league where it makes me go, oh, we're in trouble here, or we're going to be a million miles off kind of that goal at the end of the season. I think there's a lot to come from this team, and they're going to get fitter. They're going to gel well together. The defence aren't going to keep making the mistakes that they made. And yesterday, you know, Fozzie made one. Wildsmith had a bit of a flap at something as well. So there were moments again still yesterday. But it's going to settle, isn't it? We've had Davis there the last kind of four or five seasons, Marshall in the back line. So we need someone to pick that up again and get Cashin's kind of confidence back up. I can only see positives kind of moving forward. We'd all like a bit more pace up front, maybe, and someone a bit younger, fresher to kind of when situations require it. But I think we've got a nice balance. It'd be great to see Welch. Paul Warne's got up his sleeve. So as being a James Collins fan, I'm a big Paul Warne fan as well. So yeah, plenty of pelters on Twitter for me probably. But yeah, I like what we've got going there. I don't think we need to be kind of pushing the team off bridges when we've not won the first two games of the season. I think yesterday shows we've got quite a bit in our locker. We've never won at Burton. And to go there, small pitch to play on and to pick up 3 points, it's all kind of positive moving forward for me.
Yeah, no, I think Paul Warne said in his post-match that I don't think he'd ever won there as a manager or a player. So that just goes to show. But you mentioned Aaron Cashin. It made me like, I was watching obviously on Rams TV, and there was a ball in the first half. There was a ball that came over, and he was being challenged, and instead of heading it, for some reason, he went to hook it with his left foot. And right at that moment, my stream froze. And it looked like it absolutely clattered him. And it would not reload for about a minute and a half. And so I'm frantically trying to check if he'd been sent off. Because at that moment, it froze. It looked like he'd absolutely done him. And then I saw it. It actually was showed on the highlights after. I saw that and I thought, oh, actually, that didn't look anywhere near as bad. But yeah, just a bit of poor internet timing that was, I think, for that one. Your final thoughts on the game yesterday, Jamie, as well? I mean, pretty much I'd echo what Adam said there as well. I mean, you're always going to get fans who are negative. You're always going to get people who call out anything. That's just nature of football, isn't it? But from a perspective of, as I said, everything that Derby needed to really try and achieve from yesterday, at the end of the day, they managed to do it, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, it's a long season, and to start off the way we have, you know, Wigan, I thought we might be able to get back in the game towards the end, and you know, that's hard luck. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. Blackpool, like Adam said, you know, that's a bit of a write-off, and obviously it's a cup game anyway. I do think that the expectation is higher, naturally, and I think last season, obviously with all the stuff that we've been through as a club, was a bit of a free hit for Warne. But this season, I do think that the quality of the league is a lot poorer than last season. I do think that it'd be a massive missed opportunity if we don't get promoted, but I do think we are good enough to do it anyway. So I don't think it'd be a massive issue. I think it's that we're getting there. It was a great result, and obviously over Burton as well. So I do think that will have restored a lot of faith in Warne. Obviously after his silly little outburst. But I do think that say the next couple of games, they're not the easiest, but I do think that we will get probably at least 3 points from one of the two. I do think like you say, we are getting there as a team. Whether they get another player in, or obviously if they lose, potentially, I do think they're still good enough to get them out.
And guys, what we're going to do now, we're going to take a look at Derby's midweek matchup against Oxford United. And with me to discuss everything with Oxford is Liam Rice. He's the Oxford Mail's Oxford United reporter. Liam, thanks very much for joining us.
No, not a problem. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Liam, let's dig in a little bit to Oxford. Kind of a similar start to the season in the first two games is what Derby have had. When you just look at the opening day, lost to Cambridge, and then in the Carabao Cup, went out 5-1 against Bristol City, where former Ram Jason Knight turned into a majestic goal-scoring midfielder for some reason, almost like it was the system. And, ended up knocking Oxford out of the cup. Going into the season, what are the expectations surrounding Oxford? Because I always look at them as a team I had the pleasure of visiting the Kassam several years ago, and they always seem like a team on the up. They always seem like a team that was projected to growth. I know Carl Robinson was there for a long time, did a really great job. But they've been in League One now for a couple of years. What's the expectations going into this season?
I think with how the summer window unfolded with the early activity compared to a lot of the League One sort of rivals and Manning's sort of style and the way in his first season at MK Dons they finished third and then missed out on the playoffs. I think there was no sort of stated expectation that we're going for top six, but I think that was the underlying hope, and I think fans especially, for those sort of aforementioned reasons, there was sort of after what happened last year with the sort of nail-biting run towards, staying up just at the end, there was a sort of fresh impetus, and there was it felt like a new slate sort of thing. So I think expectation wise it's to get them back, like you say, where they were for a couple of years under Carl Robinson, which is the top six, fighting in the playoffs, and with one eye certainly on getting into the championship.
Talk to me a little bit about Liam Manning, because he's the manager of Oxford at the moment. Not necessarily a name that I think was probably that you would associate with management and different things like that. Obviously, all managers are under pressure to deliver. Don't get me wrong, but is he under a little bit more pressure? Is the hot seat, and I know it's very early on in the season, so I'm not saying the hot seat's turned up, because it's a little early and I'm not a fan of sacking managers way too early. But if Oxford don't turn it around, if Oxford aren't fighting for that top six, if they're languishing in mid-table, is he under a lot of pressure?
I don't think so, no. Again, that's one time will tell, won't it? If we get to Christmas and maybe they're, I don't know, mid to lower table. But and like you say, we're two games in. I think they know that. I think the management and the board know that Manning was sort of the guy they wanted, and they said that. And it's a long term appointment. It's if they don't get promoted this year, that I don't think there's going to be sackings and stuff. I think it's very much they see Manning as someone who, for the long term, is will be of benefit to the club and sort of the right man. I think it's obviously they want to finish in the top six. Of course they do, but I think it's a long term appointment.
And how does Liam Manning like to set up? What can we expect from Oxford United in terms of formation or tactics?
Yeah, it's been 4-2-3-1 last season, and it's been 4-2-3-1 this season. Not maybe what was actually expected, because I think they sort of played with that back three. It's a 4-2-3-1 now, and it's all about possession of the ball, keeping and controlling the game that way, and playing out from the back. They've now got a goalkeeper, James Beadle, on loan from Brighton, which helps with that. He's been very impressive with the ball at his feet, allowing them to sort of play out to the centre-halves. And then you've got the two sitters. Josh McEachran's been one of them, and obviously a new signing that's come over from MK Dons, where Manning was before. And then in the number 10 is another of the new additions now, is Ruben Rodriguez. He was obviously, his record at Notts County was superb, and I think they saw that as a bit of a coup actually in terms of getting that transfer, because certainly I think there was interest from sort of maybe lower championship clubs. And then, yeah, it's the one up front, which so far has been Mark Harris from Cardiff, who I think is, as Manning has said, is what his ideal sort of striker. It's a defender defending from the front. So yeah, it's very much a 4-2-3-1 and yeah, keeping and winning the games by sort of overloading with possession and, you know, I suppose what you might call nice tiki-taka football almost.
Let's talk about key players. Ruben Rodriguez, you just mentioned there, was somebody who I think I certainly would have had him at Derby. I think a lot of Derby fans would have had him at Derby, and I think we were kind of surprised that he went to Oxford. I'm not sure. I know there were rumors or potential reports that there was an offer on the table from Derby. I don't know the ins and outs of that. But he does look a heck of a good player. He was very, very good in the National League. And obviously he's stepping up essentially, I'm going to call it a league and a half, because County were kind of already so good for them. It was kind of like in a lower end League Two team that he was already playing, even though the opposition wasn't kind of there. And it takes time for players to settle. So walk me through, outside of Ruben Rodriguez, who I'm assuming you're going to name as one of your ones to watch, who else really should Derby fans pay attention to, and who should Paul Warren really be weary of, who can change this game or really hurt Derby?
Yeah, I mean, I've touched upon, I suppose, the four summer signings that are probably the new core almost, which that Beadle, forgot there, sorry, also about Jordan Fawnley, the left-sided centre-half, McEachran, Rodriguez and Harris. But outside of that, I think Cameron Branigan is, you know, he's on his day, which has been for the past few years, one of the best midfielders in the league, and hasn't ever sort of quite, well, he's not taken that move, has he, to the Championship? There's been interest in the past, and he's always sort of said no, and nothing's ever happened. And even today now, there's, you know, reports that Bristol City are interested after Alex Scott's move to Bournemouth. But, you know, he has to sort of play in the sort of two sitters, I suppose, a more withdrawn role now. He's not quite as box to box as what he used to, but still, he's a class above most opposition midfields in League One. I suppose the one who might be under the radar slightly among fans of League One sides, if they weren't paying too much attention last season, is Tyler Goodrum on the wing. He's an academy graduate. He's 19 or turning 20, if he hasn't already. And he basically last season was instrumental in Oxford staying up. He plays predominantly sort of off the right-hand side. He's, I suppose, what would you say? He's sort of, you know, small in stature, but he's got that balls and that energy, and he never stops. He's, and crucially, he's also got quality as well. He's able to pick out a very good cross or an assist or shoot from range. And he's one that really, he's probably one of the club's gems at the moment. And if they can get another year, or hopefully two out of him, you see him playing at a higher level. Obviously, on the other side, you know, Marcus Brown has shown over the years that he's got the quality to unlock a defence. And I suppose elsewhere, it's defensively where there's possibly been the issues at the beginning of the season. But last year, the likes of sort of Kieran Brown and Sam Long and Elliot Moore were actually, you know, crucial in that back end of the season to staying up. So then, yeah, to cut a long story short, Branigan and Goodrum are probably the two key men.
And when you talk about Cameron Branigan there, I loosely follow Oxford because I've been, you know, to the stadium and I've walked around and everything like that, but not as a supporter. I'm still seeing his name, like you said there, he's being linked with literally every time anybody needs a midfielder, they're like, it's this guy from Oxford, Branigan. And you're like, some, I don't know whether he's going to be either at the end of the window or not. Nobody knows because football's a strange business. But it'll be interesting to see where his future lies and then how he performs at the weekend. Liam, where are the real strengths of this Oxford team? Where can they really get at Derby and really cause some problems?
Well, in the two games that matter this season, we've probably not seen it, but what we did see in the final pre-season friendly when they beat QPR 5-0 it was high intensity, energy, constant sort of pressing, and QPR just couldn't handle with that. So it's the style, and when the style works, it's very hard to deal with. So obviously they've come up against Cambridge, who Mark Bonner's got it's very well organised side there. They're very well drilled, and maybe those elements of that they sort of outran and sort of out physicalised, that's a word, Oxford. And then obviously Bristol City is one of them where you're coming up against a Championship team who, even though they've rested a few players, they had some really good talent on show. So yeah, I think the strengths are the style when it works, and if they can get it to sort of click, arguably, you could sort of say that when they came up against QPR, they obviously came up against a team who were probably going to struggle in the Championship and are a bit low on confidence. But when that sort of attacking four, if you will, sort of get into flow, then with sort of Harris leading from the front, it's quite a thing to watch. But I think that's where you're going to probably worry the most.
And Liam, where do you think Derby can really hurt this Oxford team? Where are the weaknesses inside? And be careful here, because we know that Paul Warren is an avid listener and tactically will suck in everything that you say. So please lay it on us. Where can Derby hurt Oxford? Where are the weak points in this Oxford team?
I'm sure someone like Paul will pick up on it himself if he'll have seen the first two games. But at fullback, Oxford have looked suspect, I guess, against Bristol City. I think the first three goals of the five all came down the Oxford's right-hand side. At the moment, I guess that could be a little bit of a concern for sort of Liam Manning, that defensively, especially at fullback, because that was also the case against Cambridge, the goals coming sort of down the flanks, that's an area that wasn't an issue at all last season, but in the first two games it has been. And football changes game to game, and it might be a case of whoever's played there in the first two games have had sort of off days, but and that sort of tightens up again. So arguably that's an area that I guess Derby could exploit. But like we say, we'll have a Saturday game, both teams will have one before then, so who knows if that gets tightened up over the weekend.
And both teams having seemingly struggled in their first league game, and then obviously in the Carabao Cup as well. I'm not going to push you for a score prediction, Liam, because I respect your position of where you are for neutrality and things like that. But how do you think this game is going to go? And without giving a score prediction or anything like that, what are you looking forward to most from this matchup?
Well, I think arguably it's two of the pre-season heavyweights. I think if you looked at most League One predictions or bookies odds or wherever, Derby weren't just top six contenders. They were actually title favourites. So, you're looking at, a nice Tuesday night under the lights game at Pride Park, where you've got the title favourites, if you will, and a team that's back to finish in the top six. So, I think both managers, like to play good football. So, it promises everything, but as we know in football, that's not quite always the case. So, you would expect a good game. And if both teams, regardless of the weekend's results, have had, slower starts than they'd have liked. So, again, they'll both be looking to put things right. So all expectations are for a very good game.
And Liam, as you're probably well aware, as an avid guy on social media yourself, two games can make an entire difference. You might go in bookies favorites as winning the League One title, and you lose to Wigan, you lose to Blackpool in the cup, and everyone's questioning the recruitment plan and questioning this, that, and the other, and everything like that. Liam Rice from the Oxford Mail, the Oxford United reporter for the Oxford Mail. Liam, thanks for taking the time and giving us some insight on Oxford United. Really appreciate it.
No problem. It's been brilliant.
So going into the next fixture, another midweek game, always the case in August, isn't it, with the cup games, and then obviously into September with the trophy. It's just seems to be Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. Obviously something that we kind of killed us last year because we couldn't make too many changes. Obviously this season still probably the same. We couldn't make too many in the cup against Blackpool. But obviously this isn't, not that the cup is a throwaway, but you know, you can take risks. Can't really do that in league football, especially now we've got the first home, first away win and the first win of the season. Derby need to back that up. And what better way to do that before a very tricky away trip to Peterborough is obviously back it up with two home games, Oxford and then on Tuesday night, and then obviously Saturday, Fleetwood at home. Oxford, Jamie, last season, obviously it was our opening day fixture. We got the win there. We got the result at the Kassam, if it's still called that, probably not. But we got the win there as well in what was a bit of a game that, you know, Derby did win in the end when we were on that run. But, you know, probably actually were lucky to come away from there with 3 points. They've started the season one win, one exactly the same as us. Defeating first game of the season away at Cambridge, lost in the EFL Trophy 5-1, and then picked up the first win of the season yesterday against newly promoted Carlisle. So quite difficult, really, from that. I mean, no disrespect to Carlisle, but, you know, you'd expect most teams to sort of be beating Carlisle at home. So it's not really, you can't really say where Oxford are, but from speaking to an Oxford fan for the preview part of this podcast, you know, they're quietly confident that they can achieve something in League One this year. And I think, in fact, it was even the season before. I think they finish in the playoffs, and then obviously last season they didn't quite hit the same heights as they were expecting. Obviously, done some acute recruitment again, as Cambridge always tended to do. Of course, we've now got their head of recruitment, so it'll be interesting to see how Derby move forward with that over the next couple of years and see if we can bring in a couple of the gems that I know Oxford have managed to do over the last 5 or 6 years. So yeah, it's a bit difficult to know what to expect really Tuesday night, isn't it, Jamie? But I mean, again, you know, Derby should be buoyed, obviously, from the performance yesterday. Again, I wouldn't bank on too many changes for Tuesday. Maybe you might see a few more for Saturday, if dependent on the result on Tuesday. But I'd pretty much expect the same sort of 11. And if we harp back, cast our minds back to that first game of last season, where Derby, obviously, again, first day of the season, but Derby huffed and puffed a little bit and it just needed a bit of magic from Orahan to open the scoring. What sort of test are you expecting from Oxford Tuesday night? And you know, obviously, like you mentioned in the previous piece, how important is it for at least one of these two home games to come out with a Derby win?
Yeah, I think they're a good side and they've recruited well, like you say. I think they have been inconsistent, so I think it's probably the best time to play them, really. I think like you say, last year, albeit, you know, quite a few different personnel in both sides, was a bit of a sluggish game that Derby just about edged ahead on. I still think that Derby will win. I think it will be a close game though, and probably something like a 2-1 scoreline would be what I'd expect. But yeah, like I say, I think it's a good time to play them, and I think that especially after Fleetwood, with quite a lot of tough games, I think, yeah, we need to be winning at least one of them, and probably 4 points would be about par for both games.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, I'd be happy with the four. Adam, just looking at the stats, obviously the opening day defeat away at Cambridge, but Oxford had 70% possession in that game, and didn't manage to come away with a victory in the EFL Cup against Bristol. A little bit different. They lost 5-1. Jason Knight getting on the score sheet twice, funnily enough. And then yesterday against Carlisle, again, dominating possession, creating chances, not putting many of them on target. A team that, obviously, a very, very small sample size, that obviously in the league, but a team that clearly liked to get the ball down, liked to play football the right way, if you want to call it that. I would agree. I think that's the right way of doing it, getting it down and playing. what are your expectations for Tuesday night? Do you think this is a perfect opportunity for Derby to add to those 3 points? Or is this going to be a bit more of a tougher fixture?
Yeah, I think it is. It's a tough fixture, and you hit the nail on the head with their recruitment. I think they're a very good team recruitment-wise, and they want to play football in a certain manner, and they recruit around that rather than trying to rock the boat each year and introducing something new. They're building their foundations on being a very solid team and a good team to play against. But, you know, we've got those touches of magic that, you know, not having the ball, we didn't have much of the ball yesterday against Burton, yet we created, you know, probably 6, 7, 8 good chances in the game. And we can do that. We can do that again Tuesday night. I think the fans have got to get behind us from the get-go. The atmosphere against Wigan was flat. Blackpool, let's not talk about it too much, but we need to get behind the team and kind of stay there. It doesn't help, does it, when the atmosphere is really flat and you're playing against a team who's going to hog the ball a fair bit. So I think as fans, we need to get behind them and encourage them and try and stay with them because, like Jamie said, it's a 2-1, 1-0 kind of game, isn't it? You're not going to turn up and win 3-0 Tuesday night. You're probably going to win it by a goal. But I think we've got those touches of magic in there from Hourihan or Bird or someone who can just make something happen. Whereas perhaps, you know, having the ball and having a lot of it, they're looking to, you know, get a set piece, get ahead on the ball, that kind of thing. We can do something a bit more than that and hopefully grab a goal.
Yeah, no, I would echo that. I think they've always been pretty well known big centre offs, you know, but they can get the ball down, and like I said, they're always a threat from set pieces. I would have to agree. I think it's, you know, Pride Park under the lights Tuesday night. The pressure even from the result yesterday, the pressure's still on because obviously Derby are going to be expected to win the majority of their home games, and with back to back ones, it's a perfect opportunity. If hopefully things don't go too south on Tuesday night, then you can, you know, you can really get into a roll. I think I would agree, looking, say, from the couple of games that they've had already, from the stats and obviously from remembering sort of what they were like last year, I'm expecting a tight encounter. But I'm going to be a bit more optimistic, I think. And I'm going to say Derby are going to pick up the first win at home, and I'm going to go 2-0, actually. I'm going to keep it comfortable, get some momentum going at home and take it into Fleetwood, fingers crossed. Which brings us on to the final point of the podcast, Fleetwood. Because it's a two-game week, we know it's a little bit further down the line, and obviously we don't know how Derby's going to perform on Tuesday night and what the aftermath of that's going to be. So we're playing a little bit of devil's advocate here. But Adam, going into Fleetwood, the one thing that kind of jumps out to me about Fleetwood is revenge. They beat Derby last season at Pride Park and made Derby look silly. I don't think that's something that Paul Warne was happy with. I would presume the team wasn't happy with, and I know the fans certainly weren't. That's no disrespect to Fleetwood whatsoever. But, you know, in the laws of the game and everything else, and we know football's not played in this way, but, you know, teams like Fleetwood should not be coming and beating Derby County the way that they beat Derby County at Pride Park last season. So I think there is that element of, for me, there's that element of revenge about it as well. But going on to obviously a bit more of a pragmatic approach, it's a game again. Derby are going to be expected to turn up for and put on a performance and win the game. I mean, their two games so far, they haven't got a win themselves yet, a draw and a loss. Just looking, they drew away at Carlisle, first game of the season. They got beaten by Port Vale in the cup, and they lost at home yesterday to Cambridge 2-0. So not the greatest of starts for Fleetwood. Again, we don't know what they're going to get, obviously, on Tuesday night. And, you know, they could be staring down no winning three, and then the pressure's on for them to come to Derby to perform. I'm looking at it in a, for me, I'm looking at it in a very similar way to Tuesday night. These are games that Derby, if they want to achieve what they've all said they want to achieve this season, it's the one thing from last season that they need to eradicate, and that is dropping points against, in air quotations, lesser sides in the division.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I echo all of that and completely agree. It's a game that on paper we should be winning, and we've got to move on from that last season. Like I said, we had too many games where you thought, you know, in the pub beforehand, you're going, yeah, this will be 3 points and we'll all come home happy. And then we put on a performance that just didn't cut the mustard. I do think this year, more than any in this league, that we're people's cup final. Where else are you going to go in this league this season? We haven't got Sheffield Wednesday, Sunderland, those type of teams where you're going to play in front of 30,000. So all these, in air quotations again, smaller teams for Twitter, that are going to come here. And why wouldn't you want to win in front of, you know, 27,000 home fans or whatever we can get? So it's massive. It's massive for these teams to come and roll us over and make us look silly at Pride Park. But we've got to make it a fortress, as cheesy as that is. And winning these two games this week, I think, really kind of sets the standard of where we need to be and where we should be this season. So I'll optimistically say I think we'll win Tuesday night. We'll go into Saturday full of confidence and we'll smash Fleetwood to bits and we'll come away 4-0 win.
Oh, do you know, I was just thinking in my head, if things go right Tuesday, Derby could really turn up and put on a performance at Pride Park against Fleetwood. And I was thinking something similar, actually, sort of a three to four, one sort of scoreline. But I'll put my neck on the line and say that at the minute. Obviously, then when we lose 3-0 on Tuesday night, I'm going to delete the podcast and we'll re-record. But Jamie, for the final one on the podcast, your thoughts, Fleetwood Saturday. I know it is a little bit hard to predict, but hopefully, all things going well Tuesday night, Derby come out with that one with a positive result, and then it's really about starting to get the ball rolling before again one of the bigger hitters in the division away at Peterborough. And one of them games that I suppose it's one of the few this season that Derby obviously will go into not probably actually as much favourites as they would the other. So our key is a very important 5 days at home.
Yeah, I think it's massive. I think with Fleetwood not being a very high scoring team, and it will be quite a scrappy game. I think personally, it'll probably more like a 2-0 to Derby, but you know, they are one of those teams though that we tend to sort of big the Rams up and say, oh, we're going to turn up, and then we tend to just really struggle against these smaller sides that we should be really beating quite convincingly. I do think, like I say, I think we'll win 2-0. It might not be the most pretty game of football, but I do think that we'll win, and like I say, it sets it up massively with us having Peterborough and then Bolton, isn't it, I think, as well. So that's a tough run for us after that. So, yeah, it's massive that we win. Yeah, I'm going for 2 wins on the bounce.
Lovely. That's what we like to hear, positivity. But you're right. Yeah, these are going into Peterborough and Bolton, these are the games that, I suppose, if you want to unpick a couple of comfortable ones, no disrespects at home, that can really get the season running. And then hopefully, obviously, that getting into September, things are a little bit rosy. You know, it's not all doom and gloom. We're ninth already. You know, there's plenty of football to be played, and we'll see where we are. As obviously the beginning of the season starts to take shape. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much to my guest, Jamie Callidine from the Rams Heritage Trust. Jamie, thanks very much for coming on again, mate.
Yep, cheers, guys. Thanks for having us.
And thank you for Adam Bamford, podcast debutante. Adam, absolute cracking to have you on, mate. Thank you very much for joining us. Fingers crossed we can have you both on again over the course of the season, and good luck with everything with the business.
Yeah, thank you very much, mate. Have a good week, and hopefully we'll chat after 2 wins.
Fingers crossed. And that's all for this week's episode on the podcast. Until next time, up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast, or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.